Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. A follow-up to the GLP-1s, which is the witch that I'm trying to burn at the cross. It's a real witch. It's not just one of those poor, innocent ladies with a scarlet letter or something in Salem. It's a real witch. On the last episode, I covered this. It was about how, interestingly, something that keeps the stomach from working, it seems like we're on the trail of being a general toxin because it also damages the eyes, almost like a general systemic toxin would. Exactly like it. So in doing some follow-up for that, I thought I'd look at some other articles. And here's a Healthline article, and we're going to cement it. Just stop saying we don't have enough evidence. Stop. And we're going to cement it with an article on Healthline called Taking GLP-1 Drugs for Weight Loss Can Lead to Serious GI Symptoms. Okay, so increased risk first for common gastrointestinal side effects, but then new research indicating using drugs, these drugs can be at an increased risk for more serious GI issues. And we're going to talk about the nature of those GI issues and how if it was just some side effect of the stomach not working as opposed to yet another system being toxified, you'd expect the opposite problem. So what's really happening is this drug can affect nerves. We're going to find that here. Over in the previous episode, we talked about GLP-1 drugs. That article is called GLP-1 Drugs, A Link to Age-Related Macular Degeneration Study Finds. Originally, it was called Link to Higher Risk Of, but they've taken that out. But you can still find that I linked it in the last article. And one of the things that does is damage the optic nerve. Non-arteritic anterior ischemic optic neuropathy, which basically is sudden blindness. But that's a nerve thing. I want you to keep track of that. Also diabetic retinopathy. Also, then the one that study covered, which was about the idea that you would get wet macular degeneration. And the main sign of that is that the body starts creating more vascularity in the eyes because the circulation stinks. So if the circulation's not high enough, you're not getting enough circulation, enough oxygen somewhere, what the body would do is try to counter it with creating more vascularity, which depending on the system could really affect its main function, right? Like there's already a certain ideal amount of arteries in an area, and if all of a sudden a tissue that is meant for a certain function is then overdosed with arteries running through it and to it, then it can affect the function. So we're going to get to the nerve damage issue on this one. Again, taking GLP-1 drugs for weight loss can lead to serious GI symptoms. And from this, we're just going to be able to say again, this is a general toxin. I mean, last time should have been enough for you to understand, but this is going to back it up. All right. So this was dated, let's see. I'm not sure when it was dated. I think it must be at the bottom. Give me a second. October 6, 2023. So even though it reads as the honeymoon may be over, how many with these two? It starts with that. How many more people have gone on Ozempic and Wegovy in the last 2 years, 1.5 years, a little over 1.5 years, I think it said October. It's been a ridiculous amount, and the advertising is through the roof despite this. Increasingly linked to gastrointestinal side effects. GLP-1 such as the semaglutide, which would be Ozempic, semaglutide-based, which would be Ozempic and Wegovy, and the liraglutide, which would be Saxenda, I think is how you say it, and tirzepatide, which is Mounjaro. Common side effects include GI issues. Now, they carry a warning about more commonplace stuff like, oh, vomiting and nausea. Yeah, something that's good for you really creates vomiting and nausea. Hello? Hello? If you have vomiting and nausea after ingesting something, do you think that was probably good for me? Or do you think, boy, I probably shouldn't take more of that. That seems bad. But this is the important thing. We're going to talk about the contradiction. However, as a popularity, you've got to think as you look through things with a critical eye. However, as the popularity of these drugs has soared, more serious complications have started to appear on the radar, including intestinal blockages, known as ileus, and pancreatitis. Okay, they explain it further later, but let's just immediately talk about the intestinal blockage. Now, how does that make sense? If this was just all it did was, I said on the last episode, it doesn't find the little knob to just turn down the stomach setting to medium and not high so that, therefore, sugar is not put into the system so quick. It's only put into the system halfway. No, there is no knob it's finding, if you will, the metaphorical knob here. Instead, it's just stopping the stomach from working, generally, inelegantly, right? And so if that was the case, which is the case, that's the argument for it for diabetic purposes. Oh, well, your stomach is working slowly, therefore, you're not flooding the system with these sugars that your dumbass eats. Also, you've heard the side effect that, and also the cravings go away. To me, that is probably partially stomach connected. I don't know how anecdotal that is, but you'll see it on the advertisements. The great thing is that the cravings go away. That might be because it's destroying the stomach in other ways. Again, it's a general toxin. I'm trying to convince you, but I'm saying that goes along with the idea that even the sensing of do I need food is not necessarily working right. So now we know that both the sensing that we need food and the actual processing of food has decreased majorly. And in fact, that's why the side effect is potential stomach paralysis, because you are damaging the stomach. All right. But now, how would that make sense with intestinal blockage? If it was isolated to the stomach, it wouldn't, right? Because the intestines have less to process, not more, less. So what does this tell us? Separately, the intestines are not working right. Separately, the same type of thing that either damages the nerves or damages the general function or whatever we need to talk about, all we need to know is effect, not the exact cause is unknown. We don't understand exactly why. It doesn't matter. As I said in the last one, I don't need to know how it is exactly I get punched the hell out if we already know that the behavior that draws it is that I go find guys that are 9 inches taller than me and outweigh me by 40 pounds and am habitually giving them lip. Nobody needs to know the exact way by which they can deliver the horsepower to knock me the hell out, because we know the cause of it is me being a jerk to them. It doesn't matter if the effect is, or rather the mechanism is known exactly. Clearly there's a mechanism, as that's why we're proving statistical significance. So again then, if the stomach is operating more slowly, how could there be an intestinal blockage? And how could there be pancreatitis, another separate area? Because it's a general toxin, losers. So in a research letter published this week in the Medical Journal, Journal of American Medical Association, JAMA, strong associations between these complications and users of GLP-1s. So not really important. They really didn't say that. Given the wide use of these drugs, these adverse events, at least they're being honest about that, though rare, may be considered by patients who are contemplating using the drugs for weight loss because the risk-benefit calculus for this group might differ from that of those who use them for diabetes. Now, again, this is kind of like the last one I said. All you're doing is self-limiting your reporting on this, because apparently for the last one I talked about, they only looked at older diabetics, average age 66. And then they said, hey, age-related macular degeneration. Well, you looked at older people. Go look at people as young as 45, because people as young as 45 are taking this, and it's only going to get younger if we don't stop them. And so this case, they looked only at non-diabetics, using it only for weight loss. And then they can go, well, I'm a little separate population of diabetics. Why would diabetics respond any better? They would not. But nonetheless, the risk calculus might differ from those who use them for diabetes. So then a deep dive into the data. Again, this is about GLPs for obesity, not diabetes. But nonetheless, they know that they're prescribed off-label to treat obesity. Wegovy actually is approved to treat obesity, but the other ones that are GLPs and the other types are not, on label to treat obesity. So they said they sifted through data of 16 million patient prescriptions between 2006 and 2020, and wanted to see if those issues were shared, knowing that people with diabetes inherently have higher risk for gastrointestinal issues. They wanted to see if those issues were also shared by obesity patients. So they looked at data, 16 million prescriptions between 2006 and 2020. And then they referenced the hospital codes to build a profile for those included in the study. They had to be prescribed a GLP-1. They had to be obese. They could not have diabetes. This is what I'm talking about. Like, why would you make a sub-segment for no reason? I mean, I understand that you're trying to reduce factors, but your data is already capable enough these days and ages. You could just still split out that data. You wouldn't need to start with only those people. So, anyway, they could not have diabetes, and they subsequently had to have some form of gastrointestinal event. In total, they looked at 613 patients prescribed semaglutide and 4,144 prescribed liraglutide. All right. Then they were compared to a group of patients prescribed bupropion naltrexone. Contrave is the market name, I guess, the marketing name. A non-GLP-1 obesity drug. And the other thing, too, is this. This is the other trick that they do sometimes. I'm not saying all the time. Like, don't compare it to just potentially another drug that might be not quite as bad as side effects. Compare it to a true placebo group. But sure. Yeah, I mean, then you get a statistically significant versus the other drug that has probably also got some toxic effects to it. So sure. They're comparing it to a non-GLP-1. I mean, I guess, but why wouldn't you just compare it to those who are obese and not taking it? Wouldn't that be much more revealing of the effect than comparing it to a halfway point of also a drug that might have similar effects? Since it also stops the stomach, for instance, it probably stops the stomach from working, but I don't know. A significantly higher risk of pancreatitis is what they found. Bowel obstruction and gastroparesis. And a slight increase in the risk of biliary disease. That probably means it's not statistically significant. Yeah, there you go. Not deemed statistically significant. How those numbers broke down. 9 times higher risk of pancreatitis. This is even versus another non-obesity drug, not just obese people not taking the drugs. yet 9 times higher than those taking that other non-GLP-1 drug. Pancreatitis is a painful inflammation of the pancreas. Hello? If something is generally toxic to a system or an organ, what is one thing that happens? Inflammation. A painful inflammation of the pancreas, which can become chronic. That is a general toxin. Okay, we're adding, stops the stomach from working. We're adding, can stop the eyes from working. That N-A-I-O-N or whatever it is, that is really just the let's hide the ball meaning of, oh, it can cause sudden blindness. So stops the eyes from working. Now, I don't know about, quote, stops it, but pancreatitis certainly is an inflammation. It can't be good for it. It probably is not functioning properly. Symptoms of pancreatitis include abdominal pain, nausea. They said that twice. Fever and a swollen or tender abdomen. 4.22 higher risk. Okay, again, this is versus another big pharma drug, not even just heavy people not taking a drug. So a false control in one sense. It's a true control in one sense. It is defined, right? But it's also a halfway point where you're only seeing the effect versus another thing that may also have a toxic side effect, as opposed to just regular obesity. You're comparing obese patients taking a non-obesity drug to obese patients taking another non-obesity drug, giving cover to one and or both, really, because that margin is going to be less likely to be statistically significant in both directions, from obese to the first drug, and then from the first drug to the second drug, from only obese to not taking the first drug, and then from taking the first drug to taking the second drug. So, 4.22 times higher risk of intestinal obstruction occurs when the intestines are unable to pass their contents. Now again, they should be working off of less contents per period of time, right? So the stomach is processing less. So when I say it's not elegant, it's not targeted, it's not focused, that's why I say that. It is damaging multiple systems. Even with less things coming through the stomach, the intestines still cannot necessarily keep up. And in fact, are 4.22 times higher to result in blockage than even another, obesity drug. So I'm going to repeat the last part of that. Intestinal obstruction occurs when the intestines are unable to pass their contents. A blockage can occur due to nerve or muscle problems in the intestine. Now, what did we just say about why is the stomach maybe not working? Maybe a nerve problem? Why is the eyes not working? Well, we literally had a neuropathy titled around something about anti-arteric optic neuropathy, which probably refers to the optic nerve. So here we are. It's last time I cussed up a storm, and I'm going to throw it in here. It's fucking up the nerves. A blockage can occur due to nerve or muscle problems. This condition is serious and potentially fatal when it occurs. And yet, 4.22 times higher risk. Now we have 3.67 times higher risk of gastroparesis. It's the same thing as the last one. So they are relating that. Almost 4 times higher risk of gastroparesis. I'm sorry, as the things that we know already, which is stomach paralysis. It's when it takes the stomach too long to empty its contents, frequently accompanied by nausea and vomiting. It's a good study with a very limited data set. I mean, maybe? It was sifting through 16 million to find almost 3,000. Right? It was, what, 4,000 of one was what it was? Over four, almost 5,000, I think it was. A very limited data set? I don't know about that. Let me see if I can find this again. Yeah, 4,144 prescribed liraglutide and 613 prescribed semaglutide. And yet they're like, well, I mean, it's a very limited. Very limited? A very limited data set? 5,000 people sifting through 16 million records? How is that limited? It's just a very small snap. See, they just always try to minimize everything. And that's someone at a hospital, or rather at a clinic. It's a good study. I mean, in other words, I can't find a reason to knock it down yet. With a very limited data set. It's just a very small snapshot. I don't think you call 5,000 different users a very small snapshot. See, this is the kind of witchcraft, hypnotic stuff they try. But it is starting to paint progressively a better picture of, yes, these complications exist. This is Dr. Dan Zagari, I don't know, section chief of minimally invasive and bariatric surgery and medical director for the bariatric and metabolic interdisciplinary clinic at Stanford, not involved with the research. What is very well known is that GLP-1s are a gut hormone, and therefore we expect from its mechanism that a lot of its side effects are centered on the gut.
But these adverse effects are still uncommon. I love this.
Well, you know, once cancer is above 50%, then we'll call it, you know, not important. Is that what we're getting here? I mean, how many billions of dollars, 100 billion, 200, 3 billion, is in the cancer supposed find the solution and or treatment industries? Probably a trillion. I mean, they've got all the money spent over a period of time. If anybody goes on a massive cancer treatment, it is causing the taxpayers and society upwards of 200,000 to half of a million these days, if it's extended at all. So I think, 500 billion to a trillion may not be way off the way we spend money these days. But certainly this is in the billions and billions and billions and billions. You know, 100 billion does not seem at all. And they're like, well, I mean, however, just like the last one, it's still rare. It's still rare. We don't look at rare when we have massive adverse side effects. We look at the multiple that the statistically significant talks about. Okay, if I had a gun that was four times as likely to go off as average, and therefore I could accidentally shoot somebody and potentially kill them because it's four times as much to go off as average, then that's important. So, yeah, Azaguri, and then, but he stressed, the adverse effects are still uncommon. Yeah, so's it working worth a crap. And never mind that you add stomach paralysis. You add gastrointestinal. You add potentially fatal stomach blockages. You add, what was the intermediate one? Pancreatitis, which is a painful swelling. And this other person goes, well, I mean, there were over 4,000 patients. Yeah. So 2 years ago, it said FDA is taking notice just this month, whatever that was, this article, October of 23, updated its labeling for Ozempic to include a warning about intestinal blockage. But nonetheless, it says, well, and this is just the non-science of it. And I think I'm going to cover another article that I just saw that somebody wrote has really good information that's kind of around the same idea, just non-science use at the FDA. And I'm serious. I'll probably make it another episode and just let this be a little string. But basically that article is going to be about, oh, there are four pillars for something to be approved. And many times over a course of time, a lot of the drugs approved don't even hit two pillars. Some of them don't even hit one. No decent small percentage. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty certain that's what it was. So I'm going to cover that separately. But this is the same idea. It says, well, the FDA hasn't directly attributed cases of ileus to Ozempic itself. Why is that? Because, as I said in the other episode, you never have a definite cause. The best you have is good numbers that indicate it. And that's why all you need to do, first of all, how is that not a cause? If it's 6.67? Now, I think it was 3.6, 4.5, and 9 times as likely for 3 different effects. Yeah, 3.67 for gastroparesis, stomach paralysis, that is. 4.22 times higher for intestinal obstruction. 9.09 times higher for pancreatitis. And you're going to say you don't have enough information to say it's a cause? That's even versus another drug. But they're like, yeah, well, because these reactions are reported voluntarily from a population of uncertain size, it's not always possible to reliably estimate their frequency or establish a causal relationship to drug exposure. Don't you know that then it is probably underreported? I don't understand. Incidences of gastroparesis. And this is what I love how on the warnings, they're just like, just let that fly by. Stomach paralysis may occur. So a woman, August 2nd of 2023, filed a lawsuit against Novo Nordisk, who has Ozempic and Wegovy, and Eli Lilly. She lost. Her name is Bjorklund, depending on how she pronounced it, because she's from Louisiana, so... While taking the two drugs, lost 150 pounds, took two different drugs, and then sued for failing to warn about serious adverse gastrointestinal effects. And here we go, Azaguri. The truth is, GLP-1s are a fantastic drug. Liar and cheerleader. I've told you over and over again, has a toxic effect on multiple organs and multiple systems. So that's a lie. It's a general toxin. Let's go back to what he said the mechanism kind of was. I'll find that real quick. It is well known that GLP-1s are a gut hormone, and therefore expect from its mechanism that a lot of side effects are centered on the gut. Really? Well, what about the side effects centered on the eye? What about the fact that you market it only for slowing down the stomach, but it can stop it entirely? What about the fact that even though it slows down the stomach, it also allows an increased risk of intestinal blockages, even though less things are going through the stomach? The truth is, GLP-1s are a fantastic drug. No, you're just saying that. You're a fucking cheerleader, and you're disgusting. It's going to have some side effects, and there's going to be some downsides. We need to continue to study them. It doesn't mean that everybody has to stop taking it. It just means that we have to understand these things better. And this is, again, it's like the great unknown. If we only knew why the 6'5", why Tyson was laying down there exactly after he insulted 6'5" dudes and their mothers. Man, he is knocked out again. Well, you know, we don't know the exact mechanism. We know that it occurs after he insults 6'5" dudes. But as far as the exact mechanism of getting knocked out in this specific case, was it that they more swung with their whole body? Or was it that, you know, as big as they were, the arm was enough? Or that some of them had big fists and some of them had small fists? Or did Tyson lean into it because he likes pain? We just we need to understand these things better to help navigate these complications for patients, says Azaguri. It doesn't mean that everybody has to stop taking it. It just means that we have to understand these things better to help navigate these complications for patients. So I think this is a trick. I mean, I don't know if this is sponsored in any way by Big Pharma. But one limits it to, okay, for this systemic problem, well, we're just looking at older diabetics. And then for this other systemic problem, we look at, no, they aren't diabetics. They're not taking it for diabetes. They're just obese. And then for one, we can say, oh, don't worry about that study. That's just for obese. You're diabetic. It's like, well, wouldn't you think it would be just as bad or worse for me? No. That study was only about the merely obese, not the diabetic. Don't worry about that. Like, but my body reacts worse if I'm a diabetic. That's the whole issue. Wouldn't it be just, no, that's not about you. The thing about stomach paralysis, even though it's in a warning label, and the thing about the 9 times as much risk, 4 point whatever I said it was, and 3.67 times as much risk, don't worry, that doesn't apply to you. Why wouldn't it? Because we artificially limited and didn't just compare it to a general control group and everybody taking it. If we compared it to everybody taking it and then just kept track of the various categories, we could report on the various categories still. And we could report against the true placebo, which is those people not taking it. Now, obese you'd probably still need, right? Maybe obese, but versus those not taking it. So you could have a double control group. You could have a control group that is, you know, not taking it and is obese, and another control group that is not taking it but is diabetic. And with looking through 16 million cases, you'd think you could do that. And obesity medicine specialists and primary care doctors that are aware of how obesity should be treated, we need to be following up with patients frequently. That's the last one said. Well, you just want to follow up in case some bad shit happens to you. Let's see what this says for bottom line. Yeah, it says the same thing. Again, that was published October 6, 2023. Not sure how many other things. I'm going to pause real quick and just see how quickly I can find that other systems are also affected. So I can try to convince you if you're not convinced. This is about a general toxin to the system. Just because they're targeting that when it toxifies the stomach, it helps in a certain way, doesn't mean it's not toxic to other things. I'm just going to look real quick in case I can find it in 30 seconds or 3 minutes. All right, so I found one within 30 seconds. It was actually a part of another article that I had up in a tab, and that's that kidneys also can be affected. Wonderful! The filter of the body also affected by this wonderful drug that all it does is help you diabetes and maybe you lose weight. But also, it can have an effect on the kidneys, the filter of the body. Quote, this is from an article called GLP-1 drugs benefit brain and heart health, but may cause kidney GI issues, off of healthline.com. So as to the kidneys, it says, oh my gosh, where to go? Sorry about this. Give me just a moment. I just found it. Here we go. The researchers urge physicians to be vigilant for signs of pancreatitis and to monitor kidney function among people taking GLP-1s. Kidney problems can occur without symptoms until the condition is at an advanced stage with limited treatment options. I'm going to repeat that. Kidney problems, alcoholics die of kidney disease because it's It's had to go try to attempt so much filtering over a period of time without a chance to kind of heal. And then their kidneys stop working. You have to be on the dialysis or whatever it is. Those kidney problems. What do you think they're talking about when it says advanced stage with limited treatment options? It means your kidney ain't working well at all and is about to not work at all. So I'm going to repeat. The researchers urge physicians to be vigilant for signs of pancreatitis and to monitor kidney function among people taking GLP-1 medications. Kidney problems can occur without symptoms until the condition is at an advanced stage with limited treatment options. What did the previous thing say? Monitor kidney function. So what are we talking about for kidney problems? Kidney function. What is that normally? It means your habits have been incredibly toxic. You're smoking, you're drinking, and so on. But this is from taking this miracle drug. See if I can find another one, or if I want to come up with details on that kidney problems deal. Also, I think this is funny because what we would have called just plain false marketing when it comes to dieting is now just a part of it. I've seen this in multiple places in my research recently. Experts note that weight loss drugs can only be effective if a person eats a healthy diet and engages in regular physical exercise. Isn't that literally how the FTC would get on somebody? If you could do this program, but really they're saying, yeah, I mean, if you clean up your diet and you start to exercise, a hell of a lot of things can happen. Just absolutely mind-blowing. Okay, and on break, and I'm back after a quick break, and we also have the higher risk of a thyroid cancer, so that's great. So now we're talking about the thyroid as well. But don't worry, it's very limited and very elegant and not a general systemic toxin. You're right. All right, so I said I wouldn't spend real long looking for those, so there's a couple or a few more after that. And so, yeah, go ahead and think that Big Pharma ever comes up with elegant solutions, and you too can have your head up your ass as well and need a craniorectalectomy. Yeah, so the sooner you stop believing the hype, the better. Of all of it. Okay, guys, thanks for listening to The Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley.